courage, right? So you were in Acts 21 through 23, all right, looking at some courage there. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. So if you'd like to go ahead and turn there, you can. We'll be there in just a minute. But if you don't have a Bible, the text is on the wall or it's in your bulletin. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, we would love to get one for you. So if you'd let us know, I don't have one or I've lost mine, it would be our great privilege to be able to put one in your hands. Okay, so if you'd let us know, you can write it on a card or you can share that with us after the service. We'd like to make sure you have your own word, right? Your own plate to eat off of. So I'm glad to share my plate with you, but we all need our own as well throughout our week. So take time to be in the Word. All right, Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going to be, but we always like to talk first, right? So today's title of this thought is A Courageous Prayer. A Courageous Prayer. So let's start with the word courage, and then we'll work our way through this. How would you define courage? Praying? Brave. All right, very good. Courage. Oh. How many of us are courageous? I guess we wouldn't know, right? I don't know what I am. So courage. So we've got brave. Any other suggestions or ideas? Ma'am? Unafraid. All right, good deal. So we've got these ideas of bravery, of stepping out and doing something that we may be a little bit fearful of, but we're not going to let our fear dictate our life. If you look it up in a dictionary, it says this. It's the confidence to act according to your beliefs. The confidence to act according to your beliefs. So if we don't have beliefs, are we going to have confidence? No. So we've got to start with beliefs, right? What do we believe? And if I truly believe something, then I'll live my life based on what I believe with confidence. And so courage is to have the confidence to live out what I believe. Just like we sang this morning, I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary because it's done something in me and for me and through me. It wants to do something in you and through you and for you. And so confidently I'm going to believe in it and confidently I'm going to live for the Lord regardless of the cost. That's kind of what we sung through there, through that song. So it's the confidence to act according with one's beliefs. The truth of the matter is, what Miss Janice was hitting on here, bravery is needed because if we've got beliefs, then we're also going to have some doubts, right? Have you ever doubted your belief? You ever been afraid to live out your belief? Sure, we probably all have. We've had to deal with courage from the very beginning, right? So think about, you probably don't remember this, think about your first step that you took. I'm sorry, did I about make you pass out? All right, so that took a little courage, right? I don't remember my first step. You probably don't remember it, but you've seen children take their first step, right? And so you see them, their knees are wobbly, and they're hanging on somebody's hand or a piece of furniture, and you see it in their eyes. They're scared, right? And we're going, what? You know, come on, you can do it, just like this. And they start to take a step, and they fall down, all right? Ultimately, though, they're going to take that step, hopefully, and they're going to learn how to walk. So we see it there. You remember, maybe you remember taking the training wheels off of your bicycle for the first time. All right, so we've got some people here, remember that? Bicycles. So let's not talk about dates of bicycles. They've been around a while, all right? But for some of us, we remember when we took the training wheels off the bike and how hard it was to kind of take that first pedal. You know, and mom and dad weren't there holding us. They were just cheering us on. You can do it. And then, you know, five pedals down, you've skinned your knee and you go in and you are tired of your bicycle. But it takes courage to act that way. It takes courage to go to school for the first day. It takes courage to try out for a team. It takes courage to move out on your own. It takes courage to ask a woman to marry you because you don't know. You know my story, right? We were talking about this recently. Hey, honey, I love you. And what'd she say to me? Keep it a secret. Thank you. So I was a little petrified when I said, will you marry me? What's going to follow that question? Right? So it takes some courage to do that. It takes courage to go on a job interview. Right? It takes courage to try to start a relationship with somebody. It takes courage to have a conversation with somebody that you know you need to have. You're just not sure that you want to have it. Right? So I have this belief, and it's the right thing to do. I'm just kind of scared to do it. Courage says I have the confidence to do it. I have the confidence to act on what I believe. And so this morning we're going to talk around having courage in sharing the gospel. Courage talking with people about Jesus Christ. So have you ever been afraid to talk to somebody about the Lord? Have you ever had the opportunity to speak up and yet your tongue was tied and you didn't say a word because you were scared? And we start playing the what if game. Well, what if I say something wrong? Or what if I don't have my facts right? Or what if they just kind of turn and walk away? What if they don't hang out with me anymore? What if I get fired? What if they break up with me? We go through all these scenarios, and so we end up doing nothing because we don't have what? We don't have the confidence or the courage that it takes in our beliefs. So how many of us believe it's right to share our faith? All right, do we then have the confidence to share our faith? And that's where we're talking about courage. We all say as Christians it's important that we talk to people about the Lord. We've all pretty well admitted that we've had some times where we could have shared where we failed just because we got scared or we were timid. We lack some courage. And so today I want to kind of work through what it looks like to be courageous in sharing our faith. So next Sunday is back to church Sunday, right? And sharing our faith is important now because we're trying to invite people back to church. But what about September 28th? Are they no longer invited? You didn't come on the 21st, so go away? No. Or we only have this 2-week window to talk to people about Jesus and then it's over? No, so sharing our faith is not an event on a calendar. Sharing our faith is the lifestyle of the believer. Right? It should just flow from us naturally. It's something that our eyes should always be looking for, something we should always be intentional about. So we're going to try to work through that a little bit as well today. But let's try to think about it this way for a minute as we think about a lifestyle. Let's say that we went to a doctor and he diagnosed me and he diagnosed you and we had high cholesterol and high blood pressure. Is he or she going to ask us to make some changes? All right. So probably for some of us in this room, we've had that conversation with the doctor. They'd probably say, make some changes about your diet. Would they say it this way? Just kind of stay away from, you know, the big holiday meals and eat everything else. So don't eat big on Thanksgiving or Christmas or Valentine's Day or Easter or Memorial Day. Don't eat big on the holidays, but any other day is fine. No, they wouldn't focus on a specific date on the calendar. They would say, you need to change what? You need to change your lifestyle. All right, so we need to look at our life through a different lens rather than saying, I'm going to go on a diet for 15 days. What we need is a change for the remainder of our life. And so he's going to diagnose us. And then he's also, or she's also going to give us the prognosis, which is to say, this is where you are. And if you continue with these habits, then this is where you're going to be. This is where you can expect to be a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, right? However, if you'll make these changes, then this is where you also could expect to be as long as your body continues as it is 1 year, 5 years, 10 years from now. And so we look at the prognosis. And so here today I want, hopefully, the Spirit to kind of diagnose us. And how are we right now in sharing our faith? Last week we said how many percent of Christians share their faith? You remember? You can count it on 2 fingers. That's right. 2% of Christians actively share their faith. So that's a diagnosis, which is to say that most of us struggle with it. Or most of us don't speak up. And so the prognosis is this. If I don't speak up and if I'm afraid to share, then 1 year, 5 years, 10 years from now, I probably won't share. And the sad reality is that I grow more and more comfortable not sharing. And my heart gets more and more callous so I don't see opportunities to share. That makes sense? And so I just begin this progression of walking further away from really what I've been created to do, what the Lord wants to do through me. And so maybe our diagnosis today is, I want to share my faith, I'm just scared. I'm not sure. I don't know what to say. I'm not sure how to approach. I don't really know what to do. Well, hopefully we're going to work, let the word be the doctor this morning and give us a prognosis for how we can become people who have courage to share our faith, all right? So we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, if you've got your Bible. We're going to find a guy named Paul. Paul wrote this letter. He was in chains. He's in prison. And he's trying to encourage these Ephesian people, these believers in Christ. And he's telling them at the end of this letter that you're going to have to stand firm, all right? So he doesn't mean be a bully. He doesn't mean be stubborn and bullheaded. He means you stand in the Word of God and you stand with the Lord because the Lord's going to stand with you. And so he outlines some ways that we stand. You remember the armor that we're supposed to have there? Put on the full armor of God. And so he's going to work through that. And where we're picking it up is right at the end of that. Right at the end of that. So Ephesians chapter 6, He's going to give some counsel that kind of covers the whole armor. This is what we're supposed to do. And then we're going to find Paul making a personal request. All right, so verse 18, we're supposed to put on this full armor of God. And then he says, then pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for whom? For all the saints. So we're praying, we're watching out for all the saints. And then verse 19, he's going to get a little personal here. And he says, and for me. Pray for all the saints, but also pray for me. Pray that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in these chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so I want to look this morning at this courageous prayer. Courageous prayer. See, what I'm not going to give you today is a three-step process of how to go out of here and live with courage. We're going to talk through 3 points, but it's not something that we're going to do on our own. It's something that we need the Lord to do in and through us. So often we try to throw out little phrases or little cliches or follow this little 3-step process or 10-step process, and it works. And we try to leave the Lord out of it. And so we'll talk through this prayer here, all right? 3 things we'll know. If you want to follow in your bulletin, you can. You don't have to. It's there for our benefit. Some of us like to write, some don't. So whatever you want to do there, it is outlined there in your bulletin. All right, the first thing is this. Let's pray for the words to say when we share the gospel. We're going to pray for the words to say when we share the gospel. And so Paul's asking these believers, these Ephesian believers here, to pray with him so that when the opportunity comes to talk to somebody about the Lord, that he will have the words to say. So let's go back and read that. Ephesians 6, verse 19. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, answer a question for me. Is Paul advocating here ignorance of the scriptures? Paul's not saying, don't study at all. Just pray about it, and when the opportunity comes, open your mouth and all of a sudden this is going to come floating out of your head. He's not advocating ignorance. Paul goes on in all of his letters teaching truths, right? He's teaching us about the Lord. He's teaching us about his death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel. He's teaching us what it looks like to be a church. He's teaching us about our gifts and how to use our gifts. He teaches us how to deal with conflict in the church and outside the church. All sorts of things, marriage, family, Paul teaches about. And so he's not saying be ignorant of the scriptures. And so he's not advocating study or don't do anything. Paul was a guy that knew the text very well, at least the text up to his day. And so he knew some things about these texts. He knew that it wasn't his power that was going to change somebody. He knew it wasn't his knowledge because Paul was very versed in the scriptures. If anybody could lay out the death, burial, and resurrection, Paul could do it. And so it wasn't Paul was claiming ignorance. I don't know what to say. Paul knows this. The only way that this person's life is going to be impacted is if the Spirit of God is at work through the words that I'm sharing. And if the Spirit of God is not at work, then this is going to fall on deaf ears. And so for you and I today, it's no different. We need to be great students of the Word. We say that here often. Know nothing better than the Word of God and know no one better than Jesus Christ. And when we get those two things in right priority, everything else kind of falls into place. And so we need to be people who are great students of the Word. And here's why. Because the Holy Spirit's going to take what you and I have stored up in this noggin, and when the moment's right, he's going to help us recall it so that we can share it to somebody. And so if we're not putting it in and storing it up, we've got nothing to share. So it's imperative that we're people who are in the Word. And I understand it. There are days when I read and I go, I don't understand it. I don't see how that applies. And so I just pray as I share with you. I'm just taking what I can from today. You're God and I'm not. You know what this means and I don't. So I'm trying to understand. You speak it to me throughout the day and I'll hit it again later today or tomorrow. And we just keep going, right? Just look for a little nugget. Sometimes it's a great big aha, or sometimes it's just that little reminder, you're God, and I have no clue. And I'm okay with that. So we need to pray. Pray for words to share, words to say when the opportunity comes. And so he's saying, put words in my mouth, but he's also saying, pray for clarity. Give me clarity to share what I'm sharing in a way that people can understand it, right? Because right now, back in a room, Miss Stephanie is teaching some children the Word of God, and she's teaching them on a level that they can understand it, in a language they can understand. And so Miss Sarah here knows different languages, and maybe other of you in here know different languages as well. So if she started speaking a foreign language today, would we get it? No. If she talked for 40 minutes in a language we didn't understand, would we be just so appreciative that she shared that with us? No. I mean, by the 40th minute, you guys would be looking like you look at me some days. Sit down. Amen. All right, let's finish. Because we wouldn't understand what you're saying. And so Paul was very educated, and he knew it. And so he's saying, help me to share this clearly in a language that these people can understand. You know, I was reading an article here this week for pastors or teachers, anybody teaching, and the title of it was something like this: are you teaching to impress your college professor, or are you teaching to influence people with Christ? Two very different things. Because we can say, I know it all, and stand up here and say, look at everything I know. Whoop-de-doo. Speak my language. Bring it to my level where I understand. Communicate to me what you are saying. It's not about what do you know. It's about help me understand it. And so Paul was desperate for these people that he was going to go visit. I'm going to go share the gospel, and I'm praying and asking you to pray with me that I'll share this in a way. God will give me the words to say so that people can understand. I don't ever want to speak over anybody's head. Thankfully, I don't think I'll ever be accused of that, which is okay by me. Everybody's got a lot, and I'll play mine to the best of my ability. So what's the point? The point is we need wisdom to share. And we need the right words to say, and we need the right heart and the attitude and how we approach people. And so Paul, the guy who knew everything, remember Paul's pedigree in Philippians? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He knew the law as good as anybody on the planet. And here this guy is saying, pray for me that I'll share what is needful in a way that people can understand. And so we need to pray and pray for the words to help us share the gospel. I was reading a commentary here this week, JFB, James Fawcett Brown. And as it relates to this thought, here's what they write. He says, Paul asked the Ephesian believers to pray for him because he knew the shortest route to any heart was by way of heaven. Paul knew the shortest route to any heart was by way of heaven. And so it wasn't about how well I articulate. It's not about how pretty I can make it. It's not about all the object lessons that we use to help illustrate it. He knew what was needed was the Spirit of God. And so pray for me that I don't get up there and just start talking about people go, wow, he's smart. I don't know what he's saying. Pray for me that they'll be able to understand what I'm saying. More than that, it will penetrate their heart and they'll receive Christ. So to have courage when we share the gospel requires us to pray. God, give me the words to say. And so who does that depend on? That depends on God. So I told you, I'm not telling you to go out of here and do X, Y, Z. All I'm really going to say is let's depend on the Lord and we're going to pray for one another. And that's the message in a nutshell today. Pray for words. We talk about this often. When somebody comes to you and approaches you and says, hey, we need to have a conversation, how do you usually respond? Okay, yeah, so we're on edge a little bit, right? Give me a little bit more information. And so it's a good thing always at that point to stop and pray. And thankfully, that's one of the things the Lord has taught me in my life here. Lord, I don't know what this person wants to talk about. Help me not make it about me. What's going on in their life? Help me to receive it well and to respond with whatever you want me to say. Pray. Pray for wisdom. Pray for the words to share when it comes to sharing the gospel. All right, let's progress here to our second point this morning. Pray for the words to share. Secondly, pray for boldness now to clearly share what it is that we've just received. Pray for boldness. So it's one thing to know the words and have the words. It's one thing to feel like you can convey it clearly. It's something entirely different to have the confidence to act on your belief. Courage. Boldness. So don't just pray that I get words. Now pray that I can share the words. Give me a bold heart to speak what it is that God has given to me. So let's go back to verse 19 and we'll see him ask this in his prayer. He says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, does this sound odd to you? I mean, if there's anybody in the New Testament that I think would be okay on their own, it's Paul. And Paul is saying, give me boldness. Why is he praying for courage? The only reason we need courage is because there's always the opportunity for what? Fear. And so when Paul says, pray that I'll have boldness, he's saying, I'm afraid. I'm a little bit scared. See, I tend to think of Paul as like a biblical superhero. And when you look at his pedigree and some of the things that he went through, kind of makes sense. Right? Paul was beaten, left for dead, and yet he survived. Paul was stoned and left for dead, and yet he lived. Paul was starving, stripped naked, cold, and he survived. Paul was shipwrecked and about to drown, and yet he survived that. Paul was bit by a venomous snake. And all the people that knew the snake looked at him like, oh, he's dead. He's about to swell up and die. And what happened to Paul? Nothing. Sounds like a superhero. And so here's this guy who has all this sort of story looking at these, if we're writing to these Ephesian believers saying, pray for me because I'm scared. Pray for me because there is an opportunity for fear. Pray for me because I need boldness. I need some courage. These are my beliefs. And I have confidence in them. I'm just a little bit scared about what may come. See, the Spirit worked this way in Paul. Paul, everywhere you go, you're going to find hardship and you're going to find persecution. And so what if that's what the Spirit was speaking to you? From today forward, everywhere you go, you're going to struggle because of your faith. People are going to hate you, and they're going to beat you with stone or rods. They're going to stone you. They're going to try to harm you. They're going to rob you. They're going to take your family. You think we would ask people to pray for us? Yeah, would you pray for me? Because the Spirit has warned me, everywhere I go, I'm going to face some hardship. I think that has to take a toll on a person. And so Paul wasn't a superhero. Paul wasn't indestructible. The thing that Paul knew was the source of his power. And that's key here today. What's very important, and listen to me, is not that you walk out of here going, suck it up and puff it up, and I'm going to be tough, and I'm going to be bold and courageous for Jesus, and the first opportunity you get, we're just going to cower away. I'm going to cower away because I'm relying on myself. And so Paul's not teaching us to rely on self. He knew who would supply his courage. So what I love is Paul asked them to pray for him the very way that he prayed for them. Pray for me as I pray for you. And so if we go back to Ephesians chapter 1 here, we'll read these three or four verses. The beginning of this letter to the same group of people, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Verse 19. And I pray here that you would know his incomparably great, what is it? His great power for us who believe. I pray you would know his great power. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that's invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. What? Paul's writing and saying, the power that brought a dead man back to life is the same power that's within you. And so don't we think, can't we live with confidence? If God can bring somebody back from the dead, he can surely give me courage to share his word. That seems like a much greater feat. Just a little courage is all I'm asking for. Don't bring me out of the grave. The same power that brought Christ back to life is the same power that's within us to give us courage, power, to share these words. Remember when Paul was about to fade off the scene, he had that young friend, Tim. And so he writes little Timmy and he says, Timmy, buddy, God's not giving you a spirit of fear. What's God giving you? He's giving you a spirit of power. And so when you find yourself afraid, just let that be a little red flag. Not God. No, not God. He's not afraid. He's not causing you to be afraid. And so now I need to learn. I need to lean. I need to turn. I need to trust because maybe I'm looking at myself. Maybe I'm dependent on me. Remember when Solomon wrote, trust in the Lord with all your, what? Heart and do not lean. Don't lean on yourself. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct you. See, we need to be reminded. I need to be reminded that the power is not me. The power is in me. And the same power that brought Christ back from the dead is the same power that will equip me to be bold in sharing my faith. How many people in your circle don't know the Lord? How many family members do you have? How many neighbors do you live beside? How many friends do you know or co-workers or classmates How many strangers have we met here just within this month that do not know Jesus? How many people are in your world that you don't know if they know Christ? You know a good way to find out? Start the conversation. Now, Matt Chandler, he's a preacher down in Texas, Dallas, Texas area. And he said, when my neighbors found out I was a pastor, he said, I just told them, let's go. We're going to have the conversation one way or another. Let's have it right now. And so he just starts asking them, this is what I believe, what do you believe? And they have conversations, right? A good way to find out what people believe is just to ask them. And so Paul was here saying, pray for me. Pray that I'll have the words to say, and God will supply that, but also pray that he'll give me boldness to stand and to speak. See, God's the supplier of the courage, the power behind the sharing. And what I've often found is when I depend on myself, I struggle in witnessing with people. And so if I've not prepared my heart or prayed, or if I've not been looking for the opportunity and kind of presented itself, sometimes I'll just stutter along. Or sometimes I'll nod my head in agreement with something I'm not really sure about because I'm just trying to think this whole thing through. Dependency always leads in struggle when it's on ourselves, but dependency in God always equips us to speak when the time is right. And let's think about some recent events here. It takes courage to speak up. We've been learning about our brothers and sisters in Iraq, many of whom have been driven out of their homes and out of their cities and up to mountains, and they have nothing, all because they believe in Jesus Christ. And so they've marked their houses and they've told them, you need to pay a tax, or you need to convert back to Islam, you need to denounce that you're a Christian, you need to move out of this city, or we're going to take your life. Supposedly that's the options. I don't know that it actually has played out that way. You think it takes courage to stand as a believer in Iraq? I'm sure it does. You think about a gentleman by the name of Jack Phillips. You know Jack Phillips? You know Jack. Jack owns a business in Colorado, and he just likes to bake cakes. And he wants to celebrate holidays and special moments in people's lives. And yet Jack also has beliefs. And he has courage to act with confidence in accordance with his beliefs. And so there's some things that Jack's not going to participate in because he believes it's not biblical, and he's not going to condone it with his cake. And so local government, state government, federal government have stepped in and said, Jack, this is not acceptable. You're going to have to change your ways. We're going to have to kind of take out all this biblical stuff and put in what we believe is right for this country. And we're going to have to document it, Jack. And you're going to have to show us over the course of time the people that you've denied or declined to make cakes for and why. You need to prove to us that you're still somebody who can participate as a small business owner. You know what Jack has said? I'm going to act with confidence according to my beliefs. And if it costs me my job, it's okay. But I'm not going to do something that violates my conscience or violates my God. What's that called? Courage. Courage to act with confidence according to your beliefs. What about old Phil Robertson, the Duck Dynasty dad? Right? You're no longer allowed on the show, Dad, because you've got opinions, biblical opinions, that violate the opinions of our culture. And so you can get some counseling to kind of retrain you in how to think the way that we think, or you're no longer allowed on the show. So what does Phil do? What Phil would do? He writes a book called Unfiltered. T-E-R-E-D. Unfiltered. He says, this is what I believe. Right? I don't hate people. I love people. But this is what's right and this is what's not. That's called courage. What about the guy called Dan Cathy? We love Dan Cathy because we love what? Chick-fil-A? You love Chick-fil-A? The president of Chick-fil-A, Dan Cathy, you remember all the things he went through here in the last year, 18 months, because of his personal convictions, his biblical convictions? He wouldn't falter. He wouldn't waver. This is what I believe is right. And so he stands, and he's suffered some persecution as a result of it. That's called courage. Now, me sharing my faith with Frank and Joe across the fence probably will not make national media. I don't think news cameras are going to come in and they're going to hover a helicopter to capture the conversation. But it takes just as much courage to approach that fence and say, what do you think about God? I know you've heard about Jesus, but who do you believe that he is? It takes just as much courage as it does to stand up in a different country or on a different platform. Have confidence in what you believe. And so we need to pray. You get the theme here? We need courage, and so how do we get courage? We need to pray. And who are we praying for? We're praying for one another. Paul didn't say, yeah, he did say, let's pray for all the saints, and then he says, you pray for me. I'm going to pray for myself, but I'm asking you as well, will you pray for me? And so we're praying for words to say, to share. We're praying for the boldness to clearly share these words. And then third and last this morning, we're going to pray for the opportunity, because this is our mission. We're going to pray for the opportunity that when it comes, we'll be able to share this gospel. See, Paul understood some stuff, guys, that we need to understand as well. He knew that sharing his faith was life. That was much in part why he had been saved. That was his mission. And we see this in verse 20. And let's go back to the text there, Ephesians 6, verse 20. Just prior to that, verse 19, remember, he says, pray for me that I will speak these words fearlessly and that God will grant me the words to say. And these words, verse 20 says, for which I am an ambassador in chains. This gospel, this mystery that I am representing, I am an ambassador and I'm in chains as the result of it. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. You know what it means to be an ambassador? We're a representative, all right? And we are authorized. You are an authorized messenger. So if we were to represent this country, it means our government would have authorized us to go over and represent them somewhere and speak on behalf of the government. This is what we believe with other people. This is who we are, United States of America, and this is our position. We have been authorized by God to be messengers of the gospel. So if you're a Christian today, then you, just like me, have been given this great privilege of partnering with God and sharing his gospel. Paul says, I'm an ambassador. He's an authorized messenger. And in 2 Corinthians 5:20, he says, you're an ambassador. Now that's not on the wall, but that's where he says, you and I have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors of this message, which means we've been authorized by God. We have his permission to go out and tell his word with other people representing him. And so we are authorized. We're also witnesses. Paul said he was a witness. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, when the Spirit comes on you, then you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And so we can look in the Bible and we can read a man's life and understand that God gave him the specific purpose of carrying the gospel message first to the Gentiles. But we've got the same declaration over us, the same commission. When Jesus said, go make disciples, this is what he's talking about. That includes the church. It's our role to help build one another, to help strengthen and equip one another. That's part of making disciples. But also part of it is sharing this gospel with people who don't know. Sharing this gospel with people we're not sure if they know. Sharing this gospel with people who've heard it before and maybe never responded. And so he says, let's pray for these opportunities that we will fulfill our mission. We've got to be ready. Right? We've got to be ready to seize the opportunity. And so I want you to think about it this way here for a minute. I'm trying to put this in a way that we can understand. Here about, let's see here, June, July, August. About 4 months ago, we purchased a used vehicle, new to us, used vehicle, all right, this little van. And so did we just run out and go, hey, we like it, how much you want? Okay, here's a check. Hope it clears. Is that what we did? No, that doesn't make sense. Now, some of you may have car smarts, you're able to do that. For me, I don't. And so I spent a lot of time studying. And so you're online and you're reading about all the different years and the models and the pros and the cons and you're reading all the reviews, all the things that seem to work well at this level of mileage. And then you're going and you're talking to dealers and you're driving the vehicles and you're trying to get an idea of price points and features and all the specifications and how long you think it's going to be able to last. And so you just equip yourself for the purchase, right? Because you want to be ready. So it was the end of May. Came back to the office on a Thursday after lunch, drove past a dealership that I pass often, No van. Come home at 5 o'clock, dealer's locking the gate. What's sitting there? Van. I'm like, it's right here on our road. We've been looking. We've been in Bloomington, Illinois. I've been looking in Florida, all over the place, trying to find the vehicle. And it's right here, a mile from my house. And so I pull in. Nick was locking up the gate. They lock at 5 on Fridays. And I've talked with Nick many times. I said, hey, Nick, want to know about this van? I'll come back later. He said, no, let me lock the gate, and I'll get the keys, and we'll start it. And you can't drive it right now, but we'll check it out. Okay. So I look through it. Yeah, okay, it's, you know, right year, right years. It's got, you know, good mileage, at least for us. And what do we want to know? How much does it cost? And so he floats a price. I thought, oh, that's workable. I mean, we might can make a deal here. And so I said, all right, Nick, I'm going to come back Friday morning. What time do you open? 8 o'clock? 8 o'clock, my wife and I will be here. We want to drive the van. Sure enough, we went back the next morning, took it for about an hour, drove it, tried to put it through our paces, took it to our mechanic. He worked it through and said, I can't recommend it or deny it, but if this is what fits your family, I see no reason why you shouldn't buy it. I said, I think you just recommended it, Tom. So we bought it, brought it home. Right, how did I know that that van was at a good price point? Because I had searched. And how did I find the van? Because I went looking for it. That's absolutely right. I was prepared, and when the moment presented itself, boom, I knew it was right. And so, well, we prayed about it, but we bought it. And that's how it's to be when we share the gospel. I'm preparing for an opportunity. Are you? I'm preparing for over the fence. I'm preparing for over the street. I'm preparing for the random stranger who shows up here to knock and say, hey, can you help me out with something? I'm preparing so that when the opportunity presents itself, I see it. Because I don't want it just to pass me by. If I hadn't studied and looked up that van, I would have driven right by that van and never saw it as an opportunity. The only reason I saw it is because my mind was geared that way. And I was intentional about it. It's the same way with sharing our faith. We've got to study the Word of God. And then, Lord, open our eyes to see people, to love people, regardless of anything you fill in the blank. Does it matter what color you are? Does it? No. That's not always been true here at Peace Church. Color's been an issue. Does it matter how much money a person has? No. Does it matter if they smell clean or dirty? No. Does it matter if they have beautiful teeth or no teeth? No. None of that matters. What matters? They have a soul. I like what Phil Robertson says. There's not all different races of people. There's one race. It's called the human race. And the same God who died for me died for all. And so I'm going to share the gospel with all. We may have differences, and I may not be sure how to speak your language. God's working in my heart now to learn Spanish. Because I don't know if you've noticed, there's all sorts of Spanish people around us. And I understand the attitude that says you're going to come in this country, you're going to learn our language. But I also understand that people are dying and going to hell. And if they never learn the language, they're never going to hear it. And so are we willing, like Paul said, to set aside ourselves to do whatever it takes to reach somebody with the gospel? Or am I willing to stand before God and just go, they just didn't know my language. And you're not smart enough to learn it? You couldn't take 2 years to learn how to share the gospel in a different language? I'm not saying we've got to go overseas, because that's not where we are. Sarah's there, and many others are there, but they're here. But look around, they're not here. Opportunity is all around us. Are we going to seize it? We've got to prepare for it. And then we've got to have eyes. God, give me eyes to see people and remove my ugliness, my prejudice, my hatred, and help me to see people for who they are. Paul says, pray for me. This is my mission. This is what I'm to share. And one other thought here, I often thought about, how do you think the Ephesian people reacted when Paul, the indestructible, wrote, pray for me? How do you think the elders received that? Paul, pray for you? See, I believe courage is contagious. And so I think for these people, it just kind of bolstered their faith. Pray for him? Yeah. Okay. Hey, will you pray for me too? We're praying for, I need prayer. I want to share my faith also. Somebody needs to pray for me. I wonder how when Paul wrote that letter to the Philippians, how they received it. Remember that letter? Paul was in Rome in prison. And he says, listen, I've been here and I've been facing all this persecution. And the whole palace guard knows I'm here. And all the Christians in Rome have heard that I'm still sharing my faith, still loving the Lord. Doesn't matter if I'm in chains. My mission's still the same wherever I am. And they've been encouraged. And now they're sharing their faith. How do you think the Philippian people responded to the courage of the Romans? Yeah! Don't you think so? Man, when I see you demonstrating courage, it has an effect on me. When I get a text that says, hey, will you pray for me? Because I got a coworker I'm going to talk to today. I'm like, that's right. Because then, within, it's like, you got to pray for me too. I don't have anybody right now, but I'm on the move. I'm on the search. Watch out. You're going to get a bite of Jesus when you stop talking to me, right? Because that's how it works. It bolsters our faith when we see courage in other people. But when we see cowardice, it does the exact same thing. I know the truth. I'm just too afraid to share it. Man, that infects. That spreads. And so what we want to be are people. Yeah, we can talk about the Cardinals, and we can talk about the weather, and we can talk about all sorts of things. But what I'd love to hear when we walk through the doors is, let me tell you about the opportunity I had this week to talk with somebody about the Lord. My chest swells up. I'm like, that's right. That's my family. Now, Lord, where's my opportunity? Do you believe that? Man, courage is contagious. I want to engage in my role. I'll share this illustration and we'll close. When I was in college, my freshman year, there were three other dummies along with me who decided that we would follow the advice of some upperclassmen who said, go to Percy Priest Lake. They have this place called the Cliffs. You'll love it. Go jump in. Sure. All right. So we drive to the Cliffs. Sure enough, there's this beautiful lake with this bluff that goes straight up. And there's different places you can jump from the cliffs. There's like a 10-foot cliff and a 25-foot cliff and a 35. Then the top one's, I don't know, maybe 50 or 60 feet. And, you know, courage. You got to be a man, right? So we're all standing. You guys are, you got to be, all right? Freshman in college. So we're all standing there and talking like, man, I don't know if I can do this. That's a long way down there. I mean, looking out over, oh, it's a beautiful lake, but like, jump in? So there's four of us standing here. We're huddled up like a prayer time. Oh, you can do it. If you do it, I'll do it. Now the corner of my eye, we catch this guy come running. And he's got on a yellow wetsuit. And he just jumps off the edge of that and lays out like a bird. Just flies straight out and then drops down. So we all go to the edge and look at him, and he just dives in and comes up. We're like, and we start punching each other like, oh, you can do that. You can so do it. And so sure enough, we take our shirts off and, you know, you get yourself psyched up and one goes, and we're all in the water together. Oh, that's awesome. All it took was one person who was willing to take that jump. And if he can do it, so can I. Now, in some circles, that may be stupidity. But when it comes to sharing the gospel, that's called courage. And what you need from a pastor is a courageous pastor. And what we need to be as a church is a courageous people. So where does courage come from? It comes from prayer. And that's why this is called a courageous prayer here today. That's the kind of guy I want to be. That's the kind of shoes I want to wear. That's the kind of role I want to play in my own life, with my wife, and my children, with my church. I want to be a man who demonstrates courage. And so you know what that means? Means I need you to pray for me. And you need me to pray for you. See, we've been called to share the gospel. And sometimes we don't share just because we're afraid. Sometimes we feel like we've got to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and be a man and go share it. Paul didn't say that. Paul said, pray for me. That's just powerful to me. Pray for me. Pray that God will give me the words to share. Pray that I'll have boldness to share those words, and pray that I'll live my life to meet these opportunities. Seize the moment. He said, pray for me.